Oh, the second hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. Heidi Muller and Bob Webb are touring, and Bob Webb and Heidi Muller are touring this neck of the woods. And as far as I know, the two concerts that we are concerned about, they have a concert in Moscow on the 12th of November, a couple of weeks from now. And that'll be at the Unitarian Universalist Church there in Moscow. I believe it's a 7:30 show, maybe 7 o'clock. Check their website. Check the Unitarian Universalist Church. Show up at 7 anyway. What the heck? And that's at, where is that? That's at 2nd and Van Buren there in Moscow. Okay? So be sure and check that out. And then Heidi and Bob will be in the Tri-Cities on November the 19th. And they will be at that Unitarian Universalist Church as well. That's out on Sylvester Road in Pasco. Okay. One track from Heidi's brand new album. She says she'll have copies with her on those tours. One track that I have. This is a great track. This is a great track for a lot of reasons. One, it's well written, but what do you expect from Heidi? But two, the arrangement on this thing is amazing. And Tracy Spring does such a nice job, and Bob Webb on the cello. And this is called All Hallows Eve. And it goes like this.
Seasons turn as earth is spinning round. Radiance burns the summer to the ground. Somewhere across the sea, a candle in the night recalls the memory dancing in the light. Shutters close against the pressing wind. Wisdom knows it's wiser to stay in. Only the bravest and the lovers who believe will venture through the dark on this most hallowed eve. Trembling hearts and souls unseen, drawn to the flame. Once a year we'll gather here, breathing their names. Those who live bring offerings of gifts. They would give their love till darkness lifts. Those on the other side long to touch their skin. Oh, to feel a gentle kiss when the veil is thin. Trembling hearts and souls unseen, drawn to the flame. Once a year we'll gather here, breathing their names. Centuries pass and still we mark the day. Though through the glass we dimly see our way. For saints and family, for all we love and grieve, we keep the fires lit every Hallows Eve. Thank you.
Many years ago, I believe back in the late 70s, Heidi Muller had gone to a small town in Poland, and now I can't remember the name of the town, but she had gone to that town, and she spent time with a family, and she spent time with them on All Hallows Eve. And you look at that whole little piece of the season and how the religions and how the pagan and Christianity and all these things sort of combine, and people thinking about that other world that we might go to, that other world and the world we live in now, and how right at that point the veil is very, very thin, which is mentioned in this song, between these two worlds, the worlds of the souls that are already gone and gone on to that other world, and then our world. And you read the history of that, and you read the analysis of all these All Saints Day and All Souls Day and All Hallows Eve, and it's actually quite interesting. And that's kind of what that song's about. Very well done. From Heidi Muller and Bob Webb's brand new album called Hurricane Creek, or Up Hurricane Creek, and they should have it with them on their little tour. Moscow, November the 12th at the Unitarian Universalist Church. And of course, Heidi, and that's the 12th, and then on the 19th in the Tri-Cities there in Pasco at the Unitarian Church. And of course, Heidi Muller does our theme every week. She's been doing it. We've been doing that now since 1989, when the Good Road theme was released, when the Good Road song came out on that album, Matters of the Heart, in the fall of 1989. Well, here's a true story. This is pretty cool. This is John McCutcheon. And I had known about this story, and he wished his baseball album had just come out. And I knew about this story. This is about a game between Central and Western, softball game. This is a great song. And it's a great story. And it's true. Alrighty? Here we go. Sarah Kotalski. Well, he'll pronounce it. Here we go.
Ellensburg, Washington, the sun shone so bright. Beautiful day for a game. When Sarah Tikulski stepped up to the plate, she knew she would ne'er be the same. It was senior day, and in all her four seasons, she had no worse year than this one. Batting under 100, she knew at month's end that her softball career would be done. Oh, she looked at a strike, she looked at the sky, she thought how she'd miss playing ball. Took a deep breath and swung for life or death. Sent the next pitch right over the wall. Sarah Tikulski, she sprinted for first. She never once hit a home run. Halfway to second, her left knee gave out. And in an instant, her season was done. She lay in the base path, writhing in pain, the dirt and the tears stained her face. She knew that her run could not be recorded until she had touched every base. So she looked to her teammates, she looked to her coach, but the ump said the rules are quite clear. No one from Western's allowed to assist you. Above her, a strange voice said, "Here." Mallory Holtman played first base for Central. She reached out her hand to the ground. Oh, those rules don't say nothing about your opponents. Get up and I'll get you around. With her teammate Liz Wallace, Mallory Holtman picked Sarah right up like a feather. They carried her around till she touched every base. Then the three girls crossed home plate together. The Sarah Tikalski, she got her home run, though she didn't do it alone. Sometimes help comes from where you least expect it and carries you all the way home. Ellensburg, Washington, the sun shone so bright. A beautiful day for a game. This old coat, the collar torn, sewed on a patch where the elbow's worn. The years have bleached its black to gray. Still I wear it out working most every day. Knows my shape, it knows my skin. Keeps the winter out while it keeps me in. I got it back in 61. It was new when I was young. Where this grease spot came from, well, I can't recall. The drip came from the fence last fall. And the arm stained when I birthed a calf. And that's roof paint on the lower half. Scrubbed and washed it many's a day. But you know there's some things that just won't ever go away. Gotten where I just believe. I guess I wear my history on my sleeve. And though the children all tease me that I should, and Loretta wonders if I would. Get a new one from that magazine. Exchange the comfortable for clean. I'm not interested anymore in those new ones they've got down at the store. You know they're stiff, they scratch, they cost a lot. They ain't half as good as this old one I got. Loretta, it's just like these lives we made. Lived in one. Look old and frayed. No change in you seems all the rage. Just give me constancy and age. When this world is filled with fright, I reach out for you in the night. You know my shape, you know my skin. You take my hand, you take me in. I've got this old coat with a collar torn. Red us sewed on a patch where the elbows worn. Got it back in 61 when it was new and I.
that's lost in space and time. You are the call, I am the answer. You are the wish and I am the way. You the music, I the dancer. You are the night and I am the day.
Couple of Chris Drever cuts there. And Chris Drever, of course, he is the son of Ivan Drever. Ivan Drever was the sort of the lead singer in the old group Wolf Stone, not the Wolf Tones, but Wolf Stone, the Scottish group that Phil Cunningham produced for so many years, Wolf Stone. And they did a lot of stuff. They did like 7 albums, Wolf Stone did. And they were darn good albums, I can tell you that. And Chris Drever is, and Ivan Drever was the lead singer in that group. And Chris Drever is his son. And he's very good. He has, that I know of, there's probably a third album. He was with a group called Lowell. And they were a sort of a modern contemporary Celtic group that did traditional tunes. And he's a great singer and he's a great guitar player. And I really enjoy his stuff, Chris Drever. And we're going to hear one more cut from him. And I have 2 of his albums. He also did The Call and the Answer. And I love the instrumentation on that. And I love his voice on that. But I don't think there's as much emotion as there was when Eleanor Shanley did that with the great group Dedannen. And that's Phil Coakley's song. And, of course, Phil Coakley is most famous for his song for Ireland that Dick Gochan and Mary Black recorded. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunlight, asked for more, and stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song of Ireland. Yes, indeed. And we also heard John McCutcheon, that's Sarah Katulski, that great story, which is a true story and actually made it under the national news. There, a game between Central and Western there in Ellensburg, Washington. What a great story. Wonder what she's doing now. So how about one more from Chris Drever? Now, we heard the Tannehill Weavers recorded this one. We've played their version many, many, many times. He adds a wonderful verse about Ossian the poet. Great Scottish song. We must up and haste away. Farewell, farewell to Fumery.
The wind has fed, the tide is fine, and swiftly, swiftly runs the time. My boat lies waiting on the tide to carry me from Funery. We must up and haste away. We must up and haste. Stop and haste away. Farewell, farewell to Funeral. Thousand, thousand tender ties this day, my plaintive cries, my heart within me almost dies at the thought of leaving Funery. We must often wondered late of day where Ossian sang his martial lay, and here the sun departing ray. Farewell, farewell to Funery.
every January, I do a three-week tour out in California, which is a really great place to tour in California, in January. And it has kind of been euphemistically dubbed my Left Coast Tour. And I've been doing this every year for nearly 30 years now. So, back in, I think it was two tours ago, I get my itinerary from my agent. And I notice that the first 2 days of my Left Coast Tour are in Calgary, Alberta. And I know why this is. Because my agent is too cheap to buy a globe. So I arrive at the Calgary International Airport on the 11th day of January, where the two-day forecast high is 17 below. And the only thing that is rescuing these 2 days from being a total debacle or debacle. Aaron, look that up. Is the fact that I'm playing at the Calgary Folk Club, which is the oldest and the biggest folk club in Canada. And after the first night, I'm sitting in the back of the hall signing books and CDs, and this old friend of mine shows up, who's come in to surprise me for the weekend. And she and I are sitting down and visiting and talking about old times, and she finally says, "So, how old are the boys now? Gosh, they must be giants." And I said, "You know something? They gave me a wonderful photograph of themselves for Christmas. Come on back to the dressing room and I have it on my laptop." So we both went back there, and I had left my laptop on this little table. I got back there, and it wasn't there. And my road manager frequently goes into the dressing room during the show and moves things around. So I went out and found him. He was packing up gear, and I said, "Tommy, what'd you do with my laptop?" And he said, "I mean, it was first night of a tour, huge crowd. I was out here the whole night. I never went back to the dressing room." So accompanied by the head of the Calgary Folk Club, we went back to the dressing room and quickly surmised that my laptop was no longer mine. Nor was my cell phone, or this really fashionable $30 watch that I'd had for 20 years. And the most mortified person in the room, of course, was the head of the Calgary Folk Club, who just sputtered, "Well, I'm so sorry. We were supposed to provide security, and we obviously didn't. So this is our responsibility. Please don't worry. I know it's the first day of a tour, and all your means of communication are gone. So tomorrow, go out, get yourself a new laptop and a new cell phone and bring us the bill." And I said, "Well, you know, we've all had a long day and a long night. Let's talk about it tomorrow." It was 1 o'clock in the morning before I finally get back to my hotel room. And as I'm lying there on this lumpy motel room bed and having a little trouble, as you might suspect, getting to sleep. And I don't know why, but I flashed on the scene, in fact, two scenes, 2 years almost to the day apart. It was the 2 days I moved my sons to New York City. And the scene was identical at the end of each of those 2 days. There's Dad sitting behind the wheel of a freshly emptied rental moving van. And there's the son leaning in through the passenger side window in front of his new apartment building. And I said the same thing to each of them before I drove off. I said, "Son, you are now living in the midst of 10 million people. But there are still going to be times when you are going to feel so lonely, you're going to think there is no place to turn. And when you feel that way, when you feel that way, I want you to remember where to turn." So despite the fact that it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I called my dad. My widowed father, who had only recently turned 80 years old and seemingly for the first time in his life, decided it was time to start getting generous with the wisdom that he'd garnered along the way. So I told him what had happened, and after a pregnant paternal pause, he said, "Well, John, I don't mean to minimize your loss. But you know, it's all just stuff. I mean, you get stuff, you lose stuff. Sometimes people help you lose stuff. I mean, no one was hurt. You still have all your instruments. You could do your job. It's just stuff. I said, Dad, I know. And I know that people get robbed every day of things far more valuable and dear than what I lost tonight. But it's, I don't know. He said, violated? I said, well, kinda, but not the way you think. See, in my job, I go into little dark rooms with hundreds and sometimes thousands of people. And on the best of those nights, if even for just a couple hours, out of our crummy, busy lives, we have a community. And somebody there tonight didn't see a community, they just saw an opportunity. And he said, I think I understand how you feel. My best advice to you right now is you need some sleep. Because you've had a tough day, and you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, that tough day, it'll be yesterday. And you'll go out and you get yourself some kind of cool new computer that can do a million things you'll never figure out how to do. And you're going to get yourself some kind of flash new cell phone that can do a whole bunch of things you'll never need. And for heaven's sakes, get yourself a decent watch. So it's about 1:30 by the time I hung up with him. And I'm sitting there in the most un-21st century situation. I'm sitting on the edge of this lumpy motel room bed, holding a telephone receiver that has a cord coming out of it. And my thumb is depressing a disconnect button. And maybe it was the synchronicity of all this evening, but I can't explain this either, but I took my thumb off the disconnect button and I dialed my cell phone number. Because I figured, you can't really steal someone else's cell phone, right? And I figured by the time the thief has just gathered up everything that he could grab out of the dressing room and realizes he's got the cell phone, he can't do anything with it, he's probably chucked it in some trash bin on a Calgary street corner. And perhaps if some hardy Albertan is out taking a walk at 1:30 in the morning, 17 below, they do that up there. He might hear my phone ringing and say, oh, no, they say, hey, that trash bin there is ringing. Maybe I'll dive in there and pick it up, hey. Or if it's still on the thief's person, I'm just going to keep calling until they get pissed off and answer. Jonesboro, believe it or not, on the 14th try, someone answers the phone. And this male voice goes, hello. It was only at that moment that I realized that I had not actually thought about what I might say if someone actually answered the phone. So I just blurted out, why did you steal my cell phone? And the voice goes, excuse me? I said, why did you steal my cell phone? And the voice goes, who is this? I swear, I'm sitting on the edge of this lumpy hotel room bed in a t-shirt and underwear. And I stand up and I say, from my my name is John McCutcheon, and for my birthday last year, my children gave me a label maker. Turn that phone over, my name's on the back of it. A second or two later, the voice comes back and says, so it is. And that little silver power book probably sitting on the seat there next to you, turn it over, my name's on the back of that too. And the voice, without even pausing, goes, you are really something. And I went, what? Who is this? And the voice says, this is Constable Stewart of the Calgary Police. And I said, why did you steal my cell phone? And he said, I didn't steal your cell phone. I pulled a woman over for drunk driving and her purse kept ringing. It didn't seem to bother her, but it pissed me off. Now, I don't know many of you have been to visit our friends over across our northern border? But those of you who have know that the people up there are afflicted with terminal niceness. 4 o'clock in the morning, there comes a knocking at my door, a pounding at my door. I awake from now at dead sleep. I stagger to the door, I throw it open to behold what I can only assume to be Constable Stewart, who proceeds to hand me my laptop and my cell phone. And then he says, and I found this really crappy watch. But it's not labeled, so I'm not certain it's yours. And it's the middle of the night. He's woken me up from sleep. I can only imagine how dazed I must have looked. He got kind of mad. He said, you don't look the least bit surprised. Do you know how impossible this is? In all my years in the force, nothing like this has ever happened. And I sputtered, well, it's just stuff. And he said, you were a very lucky man. And I said, oh, I knew that yesterday. And as he turns to leave, I said, excuse me, Constable, can I please ask you a question? He said, certainly, because he's Canadian. Can you tell me anything at all about this woman? I mean, how did she happen to find my stuff, get my stuff? I mean, he says, oh, I can tell you that, because she told me. She was at your show. Said she had told Bill Harley it was the best show she ever saw. I said, oh, so she decided she wanted to have a relationship with some of my possessions, huh? And he just smiled and said, good night. So there I am, 4:15 a.m., wide awake now, staring at this constellation of prodigal possessions arrayed on that lumpy motel room bed. And I did the only thing I could think of. I called my dad. And I told him what had happened. And he said, that's the most amazing story I'd ever heard. I mean, how do you feel? And I thought, my dad is asking me how I feel? I mean, who are you and what have you done to my father? But with my mouth, I said, well, Dad, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but right now, I'm just mad. I mean, I want this woman to explain herself. I want her to pay. I want her to stand in front of me and apologize. I want her to stand in front of the Calgary Folk Club and apologize. And my father said, whoa, you are really giving this woman a lot of power. And I said, Dad? He said, son, you write these songs and stories about ordinary people who somehow find it within themselves to do extraordinary things. And I know you sing these songs and tell these stories to your audiences in hopes that they will be inspired to believe that the small things that we do in each of our lives actually matters. And you cannot find it within yourself to forgive someone who has taken a bunch of worthless stuff from you? I said, Dad, we're having a moment now, aren't we? He says, yes, we are. I said, you're getting awfully motherly on me, Dad. He said, for 25 years now, I'm all you have.
Town that I was born in, early every Sunday morning, we'd drive past those fields of corn that led us to St. James. Planted in those hard oak pews, your neighbors sitting next to you, we said the words each of us knew as well as our own names.
Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our bread. Then came the hardest part, the one that troubled every heart, those haunting words of mystery that long have followed after me. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive each other. In the long years since those days, my soul and heart have often strayed, but still I bow my life to pray those sweet, familiar words. Though the meanings shift and dart, whenever I come to that part, it stirs my soul, it stills my heart like nothing I have heard. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive each other. Oh, forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us. And in that Pennsylvania town, that awful day, that awful sound, when madness struck the young girls down, a tale too often heard. These strangers from another time, they knew the grief, they knew the crime, but somehow, somewhere they could find the strength to say these words. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive each other. Sometimes what's holy is so true, it's standing right in front of you. There's nothing you can really do, there's nothing you can say, except to humbly take your place. And in every trial that we face, may we somehow find the grace to live the words we pray. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive each other. Oh, forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us. Forgive.
From the hands it came down, from the side it came down, from the feet it came down, and ran to the ground. Between heaven and hell, a teardrop fell in the deep crimson dew. The tree of life grew, and the blood gave life to the branches of the tree, and the blood was the price that set the captives free. And the numbers that came through the fire and the flood clung to the tree and were redeemed by the blood. From the tree streamed the light that started the fight. Round the tree grew a vine on whose fruit I could dine. My old friend Lucifer came, fought to keep me in chains, but I saw through the tricks of 666. And the blood gave life to the branches of the tree, and the blood was the price that set the captives free. And the numbers that came through the fire and the flood clung to the tree and were redeemed by the blood. From his hands it came down, from his side it came down, from the feet it came down and ran to the ground. And a small inner voice said, you do have a choice. The vine engrafted me and I clung to the tree. And the blood gave life to the branches of the tree, and the blood was a price that set the captives free. And with the numbers that came through the fire and the flood, I clung to the tree and was redeemed by the blood. From his hands it came down, from his side it came down, from the feet it came down and ran to the ground.
When I call to you, come and see the starry light, and it's just we two, and all the world just now seems right, where the time does go. Well, I don't know, hold on to this moonlit night, hold on to are so bright. Take my hand and hold on tight. Here we go. On this warm mid-June, I'm tucking you in bed at night. Play a soft, sweet tune. Sending you on your dream flight. Just where do journey. stay with me, welcome home.
I'm not kidding you. These guys are called Ken and Jerry. I bet they have an interesting time with their lives. Ken and Jerry. I wonder. Ken and Jerry. Anyway, it's not Ben and Jerry's, but it's Ken and Jerry. They did Dancing on Thin Ice. You could hear that thin ice. There were some notes in there that really shouldn't have been there. And then we also heard Welcome Home. This is actually a pretty good little album. I didn't even know I had this album. Huh. John McCutcheon, Robbery and Forgiveness. One of this is a kind of a bonus CD, if you will, from this album, Untold, which is a wonderful album. And it has a CD that has about, I don't know, five or six cuts. But they're all long. They're all John McCutcheon's stories. And he's a pretty good storyteller. John McCutcheon hasn't been out in this neck of the woods in the east side of the mountains here for quite a few years. And he plays the west side quite a bit, but he doesn't play the east side very often. He used to come out here a lot. He'd been in Moscow, I think, four times since about 1985. And played a gig in Spokane. And he's a good guy. He's a very confident man. And musically, he knows what he can do. Sometimes his from a production standpoint, his little integrity screw goes a little loose. And it's like he wants AM airplay or top 40 airplay. And yet there are songs about things that you don't hear about on top 40, and he probably doesn't get it. But his writing is amazing. Great story writing. Great songs about upbeat philosophies, and great songs with a lot of insight, reaching farther beyond the situation into optimism and pessimism and things like that. Moonjong Shin doing the playlists. And if you want to email me at D as in Daniel, M-A-H-E-R at W-S-U.E-D, or you can call me at 509-332-5047. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. We're going to be back for lots more stuff. You just hang on because we're coming back. Hang on. Chivas,